Good morning. This is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, June 2nd, 2025. From the front page of the paper, Bagging the Biggest Bass. 100 young anglers cast lines in state tourney at Clinton Lake. By D. Jack Alkiri. Clinton. Give a man a fish, and you will feed him for a day. Teach young people how to fish, and they might start competing against others for the biggest haul. At least that's what Illinois Bass Nation Youth Series was doing at Clinton Lake over the weekend. Roughly 100 young anglers from junior high and high schools across the state cast their lines in the 4,900-acre lake over Saturday and Sunday to see who could bag the biggest single fish and the heaviest five-fish haul. The thing to remember when you're talking about these tournaments is this is not simply a fun day of fishing, said Tim Moore, youth director for Illinois Bass Nation. I mean, these anglers go out and most of them have anywhere between 10 and 12 rods and a box of tackle, and they're making 500, 600, 700, or 800 casts in a given day, he said. So this is not your bobber and worm fishing. This is competitive bass fishing. The rules for the tournament were relatively simple. They were fishing specifically for largemouth bass, 12 inches and larger, Moore said. Competitors could keep a total of 5 fish every day for weighing. The heavier the fish, the more points they accrued each day. If they caught more than 5 fish, they could release the smallest and keep only the largest 5 per team, Moore said. Illinois Bass Nation does a good job celebrating the young fisher folk who succeed, said Jamie Rednauer, who cheered on her 16-year-old son Oliver, a junior at Charleston High School. I love the way they engage the kids. I love the way they run this, she said. It's clean. When the kids do well, they actually acknowledge that very well. My son, his team won 3rd place at a previous tournament, and they actually got a little check in a plaque, and that makes kids feel really good. This tournament, though, had much bigger implications. The winners will compete in the 2025 Strike King Bassmaster High School National Championship, beginning July 31st at Clark Hills Lake in Georgia, Moore said. It's going to be one of the best across the country, he said. Each state is awarded so many berths depending on their trail sizes and their state championship. Illinois Bass Nation Youth Series divides the state into a northern and southern division, Moore said, something that began when he took over as youth director last year. Clinton Lake made sense as a centralized location for the state tournament, he said. With this being our first year with the two divisions, we wanted the divisions to come together somewhere in the central part of the state, Moore said. Built to cool the Lincoln Power Station, the lake offers a nice challenge for young anglers, he said. It has its ups and downs, right? Being a cooling lake, it can be really phenomenal at certain times of the year, and it can be really tough at certain times of the year, he said. I mean, it's day to day. That's Illinois fishing in general. There were several factors that the anglers have to consider when fishing, like that day's weather, the weather in the weeks leading up to the tournament, the conditions on the lake, and the fish's spawning cycle, to name a few. To that end, it's common practice to carry many different fishing poles on the boat, Rednauer said. They bring a lot of poles because they need a different setup for everything they're doing, she said. So, ahead of tournament time, Oliver spends a lot of time restringing poles and tying on whatever he's using, and he puts a lot of time and effort into it. While the financial cost is higher than football, her son's other sport, bass fishing teams usually fundraise to offset the expense, Rednauer said. The team in Charleston even sold sponsorship places, or whatever, on their jerseys. So the team is actually able to help the kids pay for all their entry fees and if they have to stay in a hotel. There's not a tremendous amount of out-of-pocket, short of, you know, getting your poles and getting your lures. For those curious about competitive fishing, more recommended parents look to their local high schools or community groups to get started. From page 2, local news, 4 dead after car hits train, by Rob Stroud. Cycle. 2 Neoga men and 2 Effingham men were killed when their car was struck by a freight train early Sunday morning between Neoga and Sigel in Shelby County. The Shelby County Coroner's Office identified those killed as driver Wesley E. Carver, 19, of Neoga, and passengers Josiah T. Coons, 21, also of Neoga, and Cruz M. Watts, 18, and Christian S. Beckler, 18, of Effingham. Preliminary information indicated that the crash took place around 4:21 a.m. Sunday at Shelby County Road, 400 North and U.S. 45, according to a statement from Illinois State Police Troop 7. There was no train derailment. Police said the roadway reopened to traffic at 9:41 a.m. The agency said the crash remained under investigation, and additional information was not immediately available. The fatal crash occurred in an eastern section of Shelby County, close to the Effingham County line. Shelby County Coroner Beth DeBolt said her office is working with Effingham County Coroner Kim Rhodes on this case, while the state police takes the lead on the investigation. Also on the front page, Budget Passes at 11th Hour, by Brendan Moore. Springfield. Democrats in control of the Illinois General Assembly flex their supermajorities to muscle through a $55.2 billion state budget at the 11th hour. For the second year in a row, the spending plan will be balanced by a series of tax hikes and other revenue enhancements, totaling more than $1 billion. At the same time, efforts to reform the government structure of Chicago area public transit agencies and boost funding for public transit across the state hit the brakes. Also fizzling out, at least for now, was an energy package meant to address growing concerns over power grid reliability and rising rates. The Illinois House and Senate each adjourned around 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning, slightly past their scheduled May 31st adjournment date. They passed 432 bills during their 5-month spring session, though perhaps none more important than the state's budget for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. The nearly 3,400-page spending plan and other budget-related bills passed just minutes before midnight on Saturday, roughly 30 hours after the measure was introduced. An associated budget implementation plan and revenue package that included the tax hikes did not emerge until Saturday, giving lawmakers just hours to consider the contents before voting. The package now goes to Governor Pritzker, who said he would sign the plan and described it as a testament to Illinois' fiscal responsibility. In a Sunday morning press conference, Pritzker said the need for new revenue stemmed from President Donald Trump, whose policies, the governor said, have dampened the nation's economic outlook. The Trump slump is affecting every state, Pritzker said, and the chaos and uncertainty of the Republicans' proposed cuts to health care, education, and jobs have made budgeting harder, much harder than ever before. That's why the Illinois General Assembly and I doubled down on fiscal responsibility. Our deliberations required compromise and tough decisions, especially in these uncertain and turbulent times. But we got the job done for the future of our state and for the well-being of Illinois, the governor said. What taxes are going up? The revenue package does not increase personal income or sales taxes. However, it hikes the tax on tobacco products, including e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches, from 36 to 45% of the wholesale price. The legislation would add a quarter or 50 cent per wager tax on sports betting companies like DraftKings and FanDuel. This change comes just 1 year after lawmakers, as part of a nearly $750 million revenue package to balance the current year's budget, hiked the top tax rates on sportsbooks. Additionally, the measure would change how the state collects taxes on the income earned by foreign entities of U.S. companies, and the formula for how income tax is calculated for multi-state corporations with a presence in Illinois. It also banks on revenue from a delinquent tax payment incentive program that top House Democrats estimated could rake in an additional $228 million. State lawmakers entered this year already grappling with a flattening revenue following the boost from federal COVID-19 stimulus funds and the post-pandemic economy. But adding to the trouble, is the prospect of deep cuts in federal funding to state programs like Medicaid under a plan being crafted by Trump and congressional Republicans. This uncertainty loomed large over the legislative session. Democrats held a series of hearings highlighting the impact of Trump's policies, from proposed cuts to health care programs to tariffs to immigration. They also passed several resolutions signaling their opposition to the Republican president's policies. In a sense, the situation united Democrats and helped them avoid some scrutiny for the state's already tightening budget picture. That theme continued over the weekend. Erratic leadership in Washington has affected our economic outlook, our revenue projections, and even threatened federal funding for our most crucial services, State Representative Robin Gable, Democrat Evanston, the lead House Democrat budget negotiator. That's why it's so important that this budget, before us today, maintains our commitment to the things we value. While Democratic leaders have maintained that the state cannot backfill federal cuts if they reach into the billions, the budget does include a $100 million bridge fund that Pritzker could tap to cover distortions in the economy. And, as in past years, lawmakers included authority permitting state agencies to transfer funds between line items up to a total of 4%, another measure of flexibility in uncertain times. Spending growth, program cuts draw fire. Republicans said the focus on Trump was a red herring. They criticized the proposal for the continued growth in state spending, which has climbed about $15 billion since Pritzker's first budget, a 33% increase that is closer to 10% when adjusted for inflation. "There is so much wrong in this budget bill," said Republican Ryan Spain of Peoria. "At the end of the day, this continues to double down on a failed economic strategy in the state of Illinois. And that's why for the last 30 years, not for 1 year, not for a new occupant of the White House, this state has continued to fall behind all other states." Members of the minority party also accused Democrats of loading up the budget with pork projects in Democratic districts, while failing to increase wages for direct service professionals who work in group homes that serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Those workers will receive an 80 cent per hour rate increase, which is smaller than the $2 per hour sought by advocates, and the state is reducing the hours it will pay for by 35%. "Budgets, they're not just numbers on a piece of paper," said State Senator Sally Turner Republican Beeson. They reflect our priorities, and they send a message about who we are and what we value. And unfortunately, this year's budget sends the wrong message to people of the state of Illinois and the people who need us the most. Beyond tax hikes, lawmakers made nearly $400 million in cuts from Pritzker's introduced budget. They also codified the governor's proposed elimination of the health benefits for immigration adults, HBAI program, which provides health care to non-citizens between the ages of 42 to 64, regardless of immigration status, who are otherwise ineligible for Medicaid benefits. The program's elimination will save an estimated $330 million, but a similar program for seniors remains in the budget, with a $110 million price tag. Final plan reflects government's proposal. Pritzker initially proposed a $55.2 billion spending plan in February. The administration and state lawmakers then negotiated finer details behind closed doors. Despite some changes to line items and fluctuations in revenue needed to pay for the plan, the final plan reflects the framework the governor laid out and matches the top-line spending total. The budget includes a little bit over the $300 million annual increase in K-9 education funding under the state's evidence-based funding formula. However, it also includes a pause on $50 million that had been set aside annually under the formula for property tax relief in school districts with low home values but high property taxes. The state has now upped K-12 funding nearly $2.5 billion since the new funding formula was signed into law in 2017. Early childhood block grant funding stayed flat at $748 million, while money for the state's universities and community colleges increased $44 million, or about 3%. The Monetary Award Program, a state-funded need-based grant awarded to Illinois college students, grew by $10 million. In total, about $8.2 billion in new projects received funding through the capital budget, which is largely funded through bonds backed by dedicated sources like the gas tax and revenue generated from gambling. While lawmakers punted on a long-term fix to the state's Tier 2 pension system, the budget included $75 million to ensure that, at least for the coming year, benefits will meet the safe harbor, which is the requirement that pension payouts meet or exceed those of Social Security. Transit energy not addressed. Meanwhile, an effort to reform and provide new funds for public transit systems in the state went off the rails. Lawmakers were hoping to pass legislation that would enact governing reforms that grant more power to the agency overseeing the Chicago Transit Authority, Metra Commuter Rail, and Pace Suburban Bus, while addressing an estimated $771 million fiscal cliff. Downstate transit agencies were also included in the package, which would have lowered the local cost share for operating dollars from 35 to 25% for districts serving urban areas and 20% for those serving rural areas. More than $200 million in additional funds would have been raised for downstate transit agencies, but lawmakers had a difficult time locking in a revenue source. As originally proposed, the amount downstate transit agencies receive from state sales tax as revenue collected in their service areas have been upped from 7.5 to 12.5%. But the bill was amended to change the funding source to a statewide $1.50 delivery fee on retail deliveries, which would have been split 80-20 between Chicago area transit agencies and the 54 downstate agencies. While championed by environmental activists, the delivery fee was met with staunch opposition from business groups and labeled by some as regressive. While the bill passed in the Senate, it failed to receive a vote in the House. One bill that failed to receive a vote in either chamber was an omnibus energy package that, among other things, would have incentivized the build-out of battery storage for power generated by solar and wind, and lifted the state's moratorium on the construction of new, large nuclear plants. The legislature failed to act today, and consumers and our clients climate will pay the price, said Jen Walling, executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Business interests said they were also committed to a solution this year. National Cancer Survivors Day, the community coming together. Hundreds celebrate life at Fairview Park event. By Danette Beckett, Decatur. Decatur resident George Hackney, 67, has a standing date each year at Fairview Park. We have been coming here for about 4 years in a row, the cancer survivor said. With the opportunity to enjoy the weather and companionship, Hackney and the crowd of 300 others who have battled the dreaded disease had reason to celebrate Saturday afternoon in Fairview Park. There are other people here, including a couple of classmates, he added. The group, including staff from Cancer Care Specialists of Illinois, Decatur Memorial Hospital, and St. Mary's Hospital, were there to celebrate National Cancer Survivors Day. The free event honored local cancer survivors, as well as those recently diagnosed or who have been in remission for years. Wearing their signature yellow shirts, representatives and participants with the Decatur YMCA's Live Strong were easily seen mingling throughout the pavilion. The 12-week program was designed to support cancer survivors. We build a workout for them so they can become stronger, said Margie Bunker, health and wellness representative for Live Strong. But part of that is the camaraderie. Jeffrey Lynch was one of the Live Strong participants. This year was his first time attending the National Cancer Survivors Day. I feel like I owe all the cancer survivors to show up today, he said. There is good life after this. Originally from New York, Lynch said he didn't expect such quality entertainment from Decatur. I also came for the free food, he said. Lori Leskowski is one of Lynch's nurses. It's very rewarding to see them there, to see them on the other sides of their treatments and enjoying life, she said about her patients. Various cancer survivor celebrations have taken place for more than 30 years throughout Decatur. Previous events included dinners at the Decatur Conference Center and Richland Community College. This is more of an open house, said Valerie Jordan, manager of oncology services at St. Mary's Hospital. It's just a casual picnic. Organizers have found the park setting is a more relaxed atmosphere. It's easier for them to talk to each other, to make better connections, said Rachel Ward, Cancer Community Outreach Coordinator at DMH. It's a party and a fun time. The general purpose has always been the same, said Tricia Henning with Cancer Care Specialists. It's for the survivors, the families, the health care workers that might want to come out and mingle with people away from the clinic or hospital setting, she said. It's just an extension of that care that we provide, Ward said, because we care all the time, not just at the hospital. As a cancer survivor, Schuyler Krause was ready to get up and sing to the crowd for the local dance band Pizzazz, who provided the event's entertainment. It's near and dear to my heart to give back to the organizations that help out this population of people, she said, to have us play a role in the support and celebration of fighting a very ugly disease helps feel like you're going good in the world. Krause was diagnosed with thyroid cancer in 2021. The tumor was removed a month later. No other treatment was needed, she said. I was very lucky, she added. Krause also worked among the professionals as a research nurse at the cancer center. I have an investment in the community, she said. While the crowd danced to the live music, food was supplied by notorious P.I.G. Craig Woody Wilson. It has attended Survivor's Day for several years, serving up the free meals. We've been a part of it for a long time, he said. Wilson's mobile units have been set up at several community events in the past. It's always fun to get out and spend time with everybody, he said. It's the community coming together, Jordan added. People that are here want to be here and celebrate the fact that they are living, regardless of what their disease is or what they have been through. Decatur fire crews save house from destruction, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. A Decatur home survived what could have been a destructive fire. According to a press release issued by Neil Elder, fire chief with the Decatur Fire Department, crews were contacted approximately 2:55 p.m. on Friday to the report of a fire at a detached garage at 2104 East Whitmer Street in Decatur. Upon arrival, crews found the garage fully engulfed in flames, with the fire beginning to spread to the nearby residents, Elder said. Firefighters immediately initiated an aggressive fire attack, successfully extinguishing the garage fire and preventing further spread to the home. Firefighters were able to prevent the fire from spreading to the house, limiting the damage to the exterior. The residence was unoccupied at the time and was undergoing renovations, Elder stated. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. State news. Another bear sighted in southwest Illinois. Is this becoming the new normal? By Terry Maddox. Belleville. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is reporting that a black bear was sighted there in late May in St. Clair County, meaning bears have made their way to southern Illinois 4 out of 5 years. Does this signal a new normal of bears living among us? Yes and no, according to Don Schlachter, an Illinois conservation police officer, also known as a game warden, based in Monroe County. Schlachter and other state wildlife experts expect black bears to keep crossing into Illinois from Missouri, but it could take years or even decades for a significant population to become established. Missouri has a population of roughly 900 bears, and if you look at their locations, it's like a band extending at an angle from the state, from the Arkansas border to the Mississippi River. Monroe County is on the opposite side of that river, and it's absolutely nothing for a bear to swim it. As bears are naturally expanding their range, the first ones you're going to encounter are males. They have a tendency to roam out farther. They are just eating machines and cover a tremendous amount of territory. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources encourages people to report bear sightings online at www.wildlifeillinois.org. It also provides the following safety checklist. Never feed or approach bears. Secure food, garbage, and recycling. Remove or limit use of bird feeders when bears are active. Avoid leaving pet food outdoors. Thoroughly clean and store grills and smokers after each use. Alert neighbors to bear activities. Experts suggest that people who encounter a bear should give it sufficient space while backing away slowly and quietly. If encounters persist after food sources are cleaned up, contact Chris Jacques, Large Carnivore Program Manager, at Chris, C-H-R-I-S dot J-A-C-Q-U-E-S at Illinois.gov. We'll take a short break now and continue with the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, June 2nd, 2025. Please stay tuned.